The following is an interview with John C. Calhoun, Staff Assistant to the President in the office of Stanley C. Scott. The interview was conducted by Susan Yowell on September 19, 1974, in Mr. Calhoun's office on the first floor of the old Executive Office Building. Very basic outline that we try and go by just to get some of the information, which in some cases it's readily available and just in the form of a press release, but we'd like to have a concise statement of what your role on the White House has been. So,
okay.
When did you first join the staff?
I joined the staff August 6, 1973.
Okay, and do you know how you were recruited?
I was recruited primarily through the efforts of Stanley Scott and some of the other people on the staff that I knew and had worked with on previous occasions.
You had known Mr. Scott previously?
Yes, I had known Stanley Scott and Herb Klein and Ken Clausen and General Haig and some of the other people.
Had you been in the field of communications?
Yes, I'd been in foreign service and in communications, and radio, television, newspapers, newspaper work, and I'd done some public relations work as well.
And when you came in August, you came as a staff assistant?
That's correct.
To Mr. Scott?
Staff assistant to the President,
Right.
Working with Mr. Scott. Okay.
Were you replacing anyone at the time you came? I know that
Brown
left, there was a change.
This was a new position. I think primarily what it did was merge Mr. Scott's old position, which was that as assistant to the Director of Communications, and it also gave some assistance to him in the new position of minority liaison for the White House or with the black community.
Does that mean that you were at least somewhat divided between the communication staff and the staff which has been headed up by Mr. Baroudi?
Yes, and in essence it does. And in reality what I did was combine those activities and we carried them on under one hat or using one body, because I had communications experience, I had also some business experience. I was able to combine these two and to give some assistance to Mr. Scott and at the same time carry on those duties that he had previously performed in the area of communications.
Could you go ahead and then describe briefly what your role was in these areas?
Insofar as communications is concerned, I worked primarily with the black press. I wrote all of the press releases that were disseminated directly to the black press. I worked in cooperation with the press office and the Office of Communications and the photo office. I also wrote captions for photos and maintained a list of black publications, newspapers, magazines, etc. I also maintain contact with these publishers and the editors of these various publications. In addition, I assisted Mr. Scott with his relations with the black community, that is, maintaining contact and liaison with the leaders of these various organizations and groups. We participated in various activities and events that they staged by speaking before them, and also trying to funnel their input into the system, into the structure of the federal government, trying to make them an intricate part of the American scene by having them understand fully and participate in those activities that were going on behalf of the minority community. In addition, I focused a great deal on the minority business problems of the nation by assisting in the growth through the implementation of existing legislation and policies that had been established during the administration. We received regularly complaints from small businessmen throughout the nation, and we also received appeals for help, and in many instances we tried to guide them and to give whatever professional assistance and advice we could. We call upon the various departments and agencies to adhere to the rules and guidelines as established by President Nixon to ensure that minority economics did become a truly viable part of the economy, of the economics of the nation. We also visited with various groups that were devoted to these ends, that is, the growth and also shoring up of minority businesses. I spoke before a number of them, and I also visited with the leaders of many of these groups and associations in an effort to have them better understand the executive branch and to participate in the fruits of the efforts of the president on their behalf.
When you were working on minority business problems, did you coordinate regularly with, is it the Office of Minority Business Enterprise, or that's, I'm sure I have the wrong name.
No, that is correct. There are two major programs that were responsible for this area. One would be the Office of Minority Business Enterprise, which is a part of the Department of Commerce, the other being the Small Business Administration. We coordinated and we worked in concert with them. In many instances, we referred to them correspondence that we received, that is, Mr. Scott or myself, for their direct response. We asked for, in many instances, redress on grievances that had been filed with us or with other members of the White House staff. And so far as the Small Business Administration is concerned, we were instrumental in assisting in their obtaining the cooperation of the other departments and agencies insofar as the implementation of the 8A program is concerned, and also insofar as the fostering of black business growth throughout the country.
Who were your major contacts in those offices?
In the Small Business Administration and the OMBE. Primarily, we sent everything through the director. Director of OMBE in this instance was Mr. Alex Armendariz, and at the Small Business Administration, Thomas Kleppe was the primary contact. In addition, we maintained contact with the equal opportunity people and the assistant secretaries of many of the departments insofar as spurring their cooperation and their interest in facilitating the president's mandate in carrying on the minority business programs or assistance programs. And the area of setting aside contracts to be awarded to minority businesses on a non-competitive basis, which is what the 8A program was all about. In many instances, we made direct referrals that were sent to us and other members of the White House staff to people in the various departments. HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, we maintain a great deal of contact with Secretary Lynn's office and his executive assistant. We maintain contact with Gloria Toop, Assistant Secretary Equal Opportunity at HUD, and also two other departments there who were concerned with the growth and implementation of housing in the Black community and various policies. Department of Defense, we maintain contact with the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, and also with the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Equal Opportunity. We also became deeply involved in the implementation of equal opportunity policies throughout the federal establishment. We maintain almost daily contact with the equal opportunity people in the various departments and agencies. Many instances, problems they were faced with and problems they had solved were reported to us on a routine basis so that we could have some grasp of what their problems and their daily concerns were. That is Mr. Scott and myself, did on occasions speak to some of these groups, some of these people in a loosely knitted group perhaps. We attempted to arrange meetings and what have you with them.
Did you coordinate some of this also through the White House Personnel Office?
Yes, we worked very closely with the White House Personnel Office. We made recommendations for appointments to top positions within the administration of Blacks, and Mr. Scott maintained sign-off authority on top Black and all Schedule C appointments of Blacks, and in his absence, of course, I carried on these responsibilities.
Has there, since you've been on the staff, has there been anyone in the personnel office who is specifically a recruiter for minorities, particularly Blacks?
Not since I've been on the staff. There has
after
not
Mr.
been a.
After
he left, there was no one. It was my experience that we made recommendations based on the circulation of openings that were announced by personnel. We also maintain a talent bank, a very small number of resumes of Blacks throughout the nation who were interested in positions with the federal government. And upon the announcement of certain vacancies, we made routine referral of these resumes to personnel. And in other certain instances where departments were looking for a certain type individual, we pull from our resources and share with them our resumes.
Most of the items you've mentioned have been in terms of implementation of administration policy towards minorities. Were you involved at any time in the policy making or recommendations on policy?
Regarding minorities or non-minorities? Yes. Whenever the president would give a speech, oftentimes our input was solicited insofar as anticipated questions regarding issues that might be popular in the black community. Also, we worked with the domestic council in the implementation, and also the basic process went into their recommendations to the president insofar as the black community was concerned. We made recommendations to the domestic council and to the speech writers.
Who did you work with on the domestic council?
Most of our items, we would work with persons who were assigned specific areas. For example, regarding the D.C. government, Mr. Scott and I worked very closely with Dana Mead, who was on the domestic council. Regarding small business activities, we did have two or three different people that we worked with at one point. Much of the material was done through Jim Cavanaugh, who had the HEW responsibility, and through Jim Falk, who was the primary liaison for the mayors and the big cities. We did a number of things regarding the black mayors throughout the country. We established, or we set up seminars wherein we took members of the domestic council and people from the departments to Atlanta in one instance, and we responded directly to the mayor's questions and their problems, and also tried to have many of these elected officials who had no experience in this new political arena to understand what was available to them in the executive branch and the departments of the executive branch.
Were there other major contacts that you had with offices in the White House, so the domestic council and the communications office you mentioned?
And the press office, the photo office. Some contact with Len Garment's office, and
in what capacity was
the Len Garment contact? Insofar as some of the items of mutual concern regarding minority communities, at one point I think he did focus on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's day-to-day operations, and also some of the big projects that affected the black community. I think he at one time did become involved. I think it might have been a carryover from the days of Mr. Brown. One particular instance was the Soul City project, Soul City, North Carolina. Another instance would have been the largest owned building by a black in the United States that was completed in Harlem recently and dedicated. Those would have been the major contacts I had with Len Garment's office. Can't think of any other.
You kind of indicated, I think, that your, correct me if I'm wrong here, that one of your major areas of interest was the minority business problems.
Yes.
Other than that, within this office, where I guess you and Mr. Scott comprise the office along with your secretaries,
yes.
Were there areas which you handled solely, or were you and Mr. Scott working together on almost all of the projects?
Mr. Scott and I worked in concert with each other on the all of the accomplishments of the office. I don't know of any failures.
I didn't mean to suggest that there was any lack of coordination there. I just meant, were there particular areas that you focused? I think the press area,
I took the initiative in many instances, and I did the follow through by selecting photographs and, you know, actually writing the press releases, that kind of thing. And I drafted all of the, I shouldn't say all, the majority of the correspondence that did originate from the office, whether for his signature or my signature. And I was the primary author of a number of other items that did come out of the office, insofar as our input to various things that were going on in the White House.
That brings up the question of files also. Do you think that your files will accurately reflect your contribution to the White House?
No, I don't think so. Because most of the major items were signed by Mr. Scott.
Was there any indication in the file when you drafted something for him?
It depended on the secretary. If it was one of our secretaries, Pat Hughes, for example, it was annotated with my name as being one of the originators of the communications.
Just initialed at the bottom?
Yes, and in the case of Hazel Cornwell, just my initial was used. And in the case of borrowed secretarial help, which was often the case, there was no indication at all.
Did you keep any files separate from, or I should say, did you and Mr. Scott have separate files?
No, we primarily maintained one set of files. Now, there were personal things that I did keep, and in some instances, reference material that I generated on my own. But it's a forest files. We made very good use of central files. Everything that came in, we more or less returned or turned over to central files. Very few items did we keep, and those items that we did keep would have been turned over by Mr. Scott for the presidential records.
If I can go back to your involvement in the press area and communications, you mentioned writing press releases. Did you also write the kind of thing that communications office would often send out, fact sheets on a particular piece of legislation? And obviously you would have done it on those involving minority problems. But did you do this kind of work?
No. Most of my stuff was geared primarily toward the minority press. Most of the items we sent out were written with the black press in mind, and we sent directly to these publications. And in, I would say 95% of the cases it was used. Primarily what we tried to do, or what I tried to do, was to interpret many of the policies and many of the items that affected blacks and the black community, and try to write them with that community in mind. Most of the items were geared specifically for that. In other instances, I think I may have, in my contacts with black press and the minority press, I may have pointed out to them certain stories or their coverage of stories that may have been erroneous. I may have helped them to correct their understanding, because they had no actual input or contact with the press office because there was no blank assigned. And most of the press office material was geared toward mass media in general, without the ethnic press being a specific concern.
Who did you work with in the press office?
Again, that would depend on the item. I had no contact with Mr. Ziegler. I did have contact with Mr. Warren and many of the subordinates insofar as news announcements of appointments and insofar as major press announcements and insofar as the communications office is concerned. I had contact with most of the members of the staff of that office. I did on a number of occasions furnish them with press reaction, immediate press reaction to presidential announcements or items that had been announced by various departments or what have you. And I also should point out that I did read most of the black newspapers published in the country. I did on a regular basis read all of these newspapers, and I was able to gather the mood and some of the concerns as expressed by the black community. In many instances, these clippings of great concern was funneled to persons who had the responsibility, the authority in certain areas. For example, if there was something going on in Texas that the black community was greatly concerned with, if it affected HUD or affected OMBE or SBA, these items would be clipped and in many instances funneled through the domestic council or sent directly to the persons in the departments for their information.
How much speaking or how many personal appearances did you make on behalf of the administration?
My role was primarily that of a technician. I did do some speaking. I spoke to the Savings and Loan League in Houston, Texas. Spoke to the agriculture people in Alabama, but most of my speaking was not directly related to major items that the administration was trying to get across. Instead, it dealt with problems of the black and minority communities, such as the savings and loan problems. I think were problems that were in existence since their founding, and they were primarily interested in solutions or suggestions and recommendations as to how they could improve their own funds, their funds that they had on savings, in savings accounts. And I spoke to a number of other groups around the country, but primarily on problems that I shared a great deal of concern and interest with. I don't recall any actual political appearances. And I did appear before a number of groups that I had membership in all, but I think my profile was very, very low, and I doubt if anybody outside of those people I actually had contact with knew I was here.
That touches on the question of what were the major organizations with which you worked, private organizations or
for? Well, of course, the NAACP, the National Urban League, those were two of the civil rights-oriented groups. The bank, the National Savings and Loan League, the black bankers, and the advertising agencies, black advertising agencies. I had some experience in that area. And I did have some contact with an Asian American group. I had worked in Japan, and I had worked for a radio station where we used Chinese, so I do have some knowledge of Chinese, Japanese, Koreans. I've worked with some of these groups, not as a direct responsibility of this office, but in my own right. And some of the various consulting firms regarding black placement and black management types I had worked with. I think the other things would be shown in the archives or in the records that were turned in.
Were there any either informal or formal task forces or regular meetings which you attended, or I should say meetings which you attended regularly? Did you participate in any kind of any of the regularly scheduled morning staff meetings?
No, I participated.
Or any interagency task forces?
I participated in no regularly scheduled meetings. I did, in several instances, sit in on meetings, but I did not participate in any of the interagencies meetings on a regular basis. I did go to ceremonies, of course, swearing-in ceremonies and things like that, but I received personal invitations.
Since secretaries are very often the people that know the most about the files, who have been your secretaries? Not the ones who've been temporarily assigned in correspondence, but your...
Well, Hazel Cornwell has done most of my personal work. Of course, Pat Hughes has done some as well.
And do you have a permanent address, of possibly a family address, where mail could reach you over an indefinite period of time?
Yes, I think that my residence in Maryland is permanent since I own the real estate. I don't think I could afford another place now. Anyway, 2816 Hewitt, H-E-W-I-T-T, Avenue, and that's in Wheaton, W-H-E-A-T-O-N, Maryland, 20906.
Mr. Calhoun, are there any areas that were of particular interest to you that gave you particular satisfaction, or areas which might not be well documented in your files that you feel we should talk with you about in the event there is a more in-depth oral history project covering the Nixon administration?
Well, I was particularly interested in communications, first, I think, and second, minority economics, primarily communications, because this could have been a laboratory in really dealing with quantitative negativism. By that I mean the black community was roughly 90%, I think, opposed to the administration, and they saw many things through a jaundiced eye, and I think much of this negativism came from their misunderstanding and the lack of communications. So I was particularly interested in this aspect of the job, because it gave me a chance to dispel some of these myths and misunderstandings that they had about the administration and about its efforts on behalf of minorities. Secondly, the minority economics aspect of the job. I had a great deal of satisfaction from actually talking with many of these minority business people whom I think had set their goals and their sights too low. And I think this might have been the basic problems that confronted minority businesses throughout the country. The sites were set too low, and many instances redirecting and having them refocus on what they were all about and what they could do, what they could produce, and then to seek and search out the needed capital to implement their plans and their dreams. And I have always thought that if blacks are going to ever achieve their place in the American dream. It's going to be through economics, just as the other minority and ethnic groups have achieved in this country. And I think that, to me, it was very satisfying to see blacks shift their thinking from a philosophical approach to a problem that could be solved through the capitalistic system, through the judicious use of economics and the application of those tried and true principles that had made this country a great country.
Just one question that comes to my mind. Were you involved in minority problems for any minorities other than the black minority?
No, I did have a number of contacts in the Mexican-American community, Chicanos, because of my previous job as director of minority communications for the Peace Corps and for Action. Many of them followed me here, and of course, as a concerned member of the staff, when they had no other place to go, many of them did come to me, and I did manage to funnel and channel them in other directions. The Koreans, there are quite a few in the country. I had a number of contacts with them. Primarily, I channeled them into various agencies and departments that they should have been concerned with and working with. Many times it was a communications problem. They did not know who to contact. And the Japanese, Americans and Japanese, because of my experience with the language and having been in the country for a number of years, I had a number of friends in the public relations end and also friends I'd made while in Japan who were now in this country either students or as citizens. I was able to interpret and to point them in the right direction.
And as a matter, just for the record, you are planning on staying on the White House staff, is that?
Yes,
is that
yes, right? I plan to remain.
Okay. Well, that covers all of the basic information that we're trying to get, so thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Except that if you have a biographical sketch